You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As people affected by the fires in Los Angeles begin to return to their neighborhoods to sift through what's left, some may be thinking about rebuilding, but only if they have enough insurance to do so. Adding to the wildfire devastation is the news that many homeowners in some of the hardest hit neighborhoods had recently been dropped by their insurance companies. It's a crisis that many of Northern Californians are all too familiar with, especially in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, where the California FAIR Plan is a last resort for many. Christopher Flavelle is a reporter with the New York Times covering climate change, specifically how it affects our daily lives. He's been sounding an alarm about a growing homeowners insurance crisis across the country due to an ongoing string of weather disasters exacerbated by climate change. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, I'd love to just start off by you telling us a little bit more about your background in reporting on climate change. What brought you to this beat?
Yeah, I've been covering climate adaptation and the way governments and communities try to adapt to climate shocks since really 2016. I had been covering climate change before that and started to get the sense from my reporting that the climate shocks I was looking at were really not going to go away, but would only get worse. And it seemed like the thing that mattered the most was, well, what can we do about it? How can we try to protect people from those shocks? And insurance is, of course, a big part of that. It's sort of the first place in modern life where those shocks come home and are experienced by a typical American family.
Yeah. I mean, one sector of the economy that's had to adapt rather quickly is that homeowners insurance market in a relatively short period of time, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years. For those of us who only pay attention to insurance when we have to pay a bill or we have to file a claim, why do we carry insurance on our homes?
Sure. You carry insurance because you never know what's going to happen, right? Your home, God forbid, can be damaged or destroyed by a storm, a wind event, or a fire. And so you get people who, as you said, probably never think about their insurance programs. But suddenly after disaster, their entire financial well-being depends on having insurance and having adequate insurance to rebuild. It's just so important.
One of the pieces of insurance is fire insurance, of course. What's the problem with fire insurance as it's evolved since 2016, since you began covering it, as you see it right now, the big challenges that homeowners are facing?
The way that wildfires intersect and collide with insurance is it's become a real source of concern for insurance companies. And for all the time I've been covering this, the insurance regulators in California and elsewhere, but most in California, have been really and increasingly alert to this concern that insurers will view wildfire and growing wildfire threat as sort of an existential risk that they will start pulling back from high-risk areas in California where they think that threat is too great. And sure enough, we've seen that. And that's why enrollments in the state FAIR plan has grown. So insurers are pulling back from high-risk areas. And what that means is homeowners have a harder time finding or affording coverage they need.
How has California's FAIR plan, I mean, it's the FAIR plan is the acronym is in the name. It's become increasingly challenging for homeowners where the FAIR plan is their last resort. They don't think it's as fair as it should be. How has the FAIR plan become more challenging as insurers are reconsidering whether to cover some California homeowners in high wildfire risk areas?
Yeah, if you're a homeowner and you are dropped by your private commercial insurance company, you don't have many options, but sort of your first stop is going to be the FAIR plan. The problem with the FAIR plan from the perspective of a homeowner is it tends to be more expensive, not always, and it tends to be less generous coverage. And so really, it's designed, as the name suggests, as a plan of last resort. It's become more than that as more carriers drop more people. So it's not designed to be an ideal experience as a policyholder. And then you've got a broader problem, which we might get to, is this question of, well, do they have enough money to pay all those claims?
Do insurers have to give a reason to drop someone?
You know, the correspondence I've seen between homeowners and insurance companies when those homeowners get dropped will often provide a reason, but it tends to be pretty vague. Something along the lines of, homeowner is in high risk area. So it's not terribly edifying. And I don't think it really ultimately matters. The information that matters is you're being dropped. And so people who live in areas that are high risk or even not that high risk can suddenly find themselves scrambling to get alternative coverage, often at a higher price.
Yeah. Given that we've had devastating and deadly wildfires in the last 5 to 8 years, especially, there is an idea of the road that homeowners in and property owners in Los Angeles, what they're in for in light of these wildfires that are continuing to tear through the Los Angeles area. What does the road look like for them insurance-wise?
Yeah, it's a real challenge even in quote normal times. If your home is destroyed or significantly damaged, going into negotiations with your insurance company is tricky. You've got to really be on guard and not just automatically accept what your insurance company offers you right away. These are for-profit companies, and you've got to be thoughtful about what you take. In general, based on my reporting, it's not at all uncommon for someone to get an insurance payout that is less than the cost they're facing to rebuild their home. So, though people have insurance, that does not by itself guarantee that they will be made whole after a disaster like this.
And California isn't alone in having a more challenging insurance market. These companies are national companies, and you have natural disasters in other parts. I think of hurricanes in the South and the Southeast. What does the national picture look like for home insurance?
It's changing significantly, and my colleagues and I spent time last year covering this. There is growing evidence that home insurers around the U.S. face more and more of a strain. They are losing money in a lot of states because the cost of disasters is rising faster than insurers can increase what they charge in premiums. They are dropping customers at growing rates around the country. So California is, in a sense, sort of facing the worst of it because insurers are having real trouble making money in California. But California also is sort of the poster child for this. Other states around the U.S. are facing similar problems. As you note, it's very much a national challenge.
When it comes to insurance companies not making as much money as they used to, is there some kind of relief taking place? And where would that come from? Would it come from lawmakers? Or what could be done to change the foundation of how the insurance market operates under these increasingly challenging conditions so that homeowners can get insured and then these companies can still make money and make a profit?
Yeah, it's a great question. Insurance is regulated at the state level. So, for the most part, states are where these new ideas and innovations are coming from. In general, states are responding to this crisis by trying to make it easier for insurers to charge more money in the hopes that if insurers can charge more money, they will not pull back from these areas. Two challenges there. One challenge is, of course, nobody wants to pay more for home insurance. But also, even if insurers face less hurdles to raise their rates, they still might not be able to raise rates fast enough to keep up with these evolving threats. And even if they can raise rates as much as they want, insurers sometimes struggle even to understand the risks they face from climate change. Just to put a number on the odds of a home being destroyed by wildfires or damaged by hail or a hurricane, the climate crisis is moving so fast that I think insurers are struggling to price this risk.
Are there better ways to determine risk? Or is that conversation taking place?
Insurers are certainly trying. They tend to use CAT models, catastrophe models from really sophisticated data firms that have great scientists and great computer modeling programs. So they're definitely trying, but it's a moving target, right? These threats keep on evolving. So it's not clear what the answer here is. The concern people express to me is you could have parts of the country that become, quote, uninsurable, where the risk is either so high or so hard to gauge that insurers just don't want to do business there. And if that happens, and some say it's already happening in some areas, then you're left with, you know, state-run programs that provide some relief, or potentially people have access to like really expensive sort of niche insurance plans. But that is not a great outcome for homeowners and for people who, you know, rely on their home as where they live and also their single most important investment. So the outlook is pretty serious.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm speaking with Christopher Flavelle, a climate reporter with the New York Times, and we're talking about the worsening and more challenging homeowner insurance crisis. When it comes to home insurance and homes, as you mentioned, they're integral to local economies. What is at stake in the future if people can't get insurance for their homes, these uninsurable areas, as you were just alluding to?
Yeah, look, it sounds like a dry topic, right? The availability of insurance. But without insurance, as we've written, most people can't buy a home because banks won't issue a mortgage without insurance. If fewer people can buy homes in a given area, then typically just Econ 101, the value of those homes will fall. You'll have fewer potential bidders. So whole economies start to suffer if the taxable value of those homes goes down. That eats into tax revenue for things like police and schools and roads. So it really is a change that policymakers I talk to seem genuinely concerned about because they're not really sure how to fix it.
When I've gone to some testimonies when homeowners who've lost their homes to wildfires are testifying to state lawmakers about insurance, a lot of times when you lose your home, you don't realize that what your home is insured for, it's not enough to rebuild. You know, you may get several hundred thousand dollars, but especially when an entire area has been destroyed, those prices go up. The cost to build mm-hmm. goes up. Rent goes up. Housing prices go up. And it's just continuing to be that way in the last 5 to 10 years that I've been covering wildfires. So where do you see this going?
Well, if there's one point I can just stress to your listeners, I really encourage anybody who hasn't been touched by a disaster, but if you're now thinking, oh, is my insurance good enough? Please do call your insurance company or your insurance broker and just look at the details of your insurance, because different plans cover different things to different amounts. And it's possible to get better coverage that will give you a better shot of getting the full rebuild cost of your policy back if something happens. That is, once something happens, it is too late for that conversation. So I've done this recently. Call and find out just what your insurance policy covers. You do not want to have to get that information once it's too late. But in terms of what the government can do, I mean, I get the sense that government officials who are responsible for this are really torn. They want to help consumers not have to pay more than they need to and pay an affordable rate. But insurance is really a business decision. As more private carriers pull back from risky areas, there's really only so much governments can do to stop that. And so, again, where this goes is really far from clear.
Finally, we're talking about wildfires, but in California, it has some of the most variable weather in the country. And not only do we have wildfires, we also have flooding, and flooding creates mm-hmm. serious damage. I mean, when we're having this conversation about wildfires, should we also be thinking about flood risks in the Sacramento Valley alone? There's so many homes that are in a floodplain.
Yeah, you know, just flooding is sort of one potential answer to the question of where this goes. There is a federal flood insurance program. So when you buy flood insurance, you're ultimately, in general, buying that coverage from the federal government. It's possible that the fire risk goes so high that insurers say, you know what, the government should cover this. So at some point, maybe the insurance market is salvaged because private insurers stop covering fire altogether and it becomes one more government program. So you're right, flooding is a huge risk, but because flooding is so severe and the risk is so high, the federal government had to take over that insurance provision. And now when you buy flood insurance, you're getting government coverage. That could well be the way things go for wildfires. And that just means that in the end, taxpayers everywhere are picking up that tab.
Christopher, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much.
Christopher Favelle is a climate reporter at the New York Times, discussing the more challenging and worsening homeowner insurance crisis here in California. Still ahead, a new book is looking at how indigenous movements fought for food sovereignty, facing off against the company Monsanto, and they won. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.